Sunday, I think. I remember well because I said, no, Daniel's not going to have services for sure because the ice was so bad that Sunday. And I had fallen that morning with my little dog in my arm. I didn't want to throw him, so I held on to him, took the whole blunt of the fall on pavement, and cracked a couple of ribs, bruised some. But I struggled that day here when I was preaching because it's hard to get a full good breath when you crack ribs or you bruise them or whatever you do. So this is a little bit of morning this morning. I've been fighting a cold this week. Started like last Saturday, but I don't like drink water when I'm preaching, but sometimes you have to. Your throat get dry, so please just forgive me if I have to do that. I try not to. But anyway, I appreciate your pastor so very much, he and his wife, Sherry. We've been trying to get together for a meal for over a year now. He's so busy, or either he don't like to eat or he don't like my company. I don't know which one it is. I know watching him, he likes to eat. So, but anyway, and he's eating a lot at Christmas, so good. I got another month or so I can keep my money, brother. So we'll get together for long, okay? But we appreciate your pastor and your wife, and they're a real blessing to us, and you are too. I appreciate you, church. You're always so sweet and kind and so lovable and make us so welcome. I appreciate you so very much. Thank you for being here today. And my wife would be here with me, but she will be hopefully tonight if all goes well. But she is playing in the church and have been since first part of November, where we have been going a lot. For her to be able to play for the church, who lost a pianist. And so she's there this morning. I brought my son with me. I appreciate Archie coming with me. I'm very proud of my children, very proud of my family. God gave us a wonderful Christmas this year. Our Christmas was a little different this year. Something I've been wanting for a long time to do, for the most part, and that is we get so caught up in the commercialism of and the gifts and all, and I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. But this year, our Christmas was centered more around our faith and our family and, of course, food. And so it made a wonderful Christmas that we could zero more in on what it's all about. And it's so important we do that. And so we appreciate you so very much, church, for all your blessings. I want you to turn your Bible with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Psalm, if you would. Psalm chapter number 65, Psalm 65, if you would please, this morning with us. This psalm, 13 verses, has been considered a millennial psalm by some writers, scholars, that it had to do with the millennial in the days to come, that all this that you see in the psalm, it surely would be transpired in that time of millennial kingdom, a thousand-year millennial kingdom. That's been decided on some. And then also, this psalm is penned, we believe, by David, King David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this psalm was believed to be rehearsed by Israel at the beginning of their return from their 70-year captivity under the Babylonians in 536 B.C. And also some think, well, this psalm is a harvest hymn, usually used at a Thanksgiving time, and not per se Thanksgiving in November maybe, but a Thanksgiving time, the Israelites would rehearse this psalm and sing it so often because of the gratefulness of what God had done for them. And if there's one thing I really want to get across to you today in your mind, just stay on the fact of the goodness of God and what He's done for you. As we close out another year, I wanted to really think about challenging you for the new year, but I couldn't get away from this. I looked at so many things, but as we close out this year, so often each one of us, including myself, we take for granted for all that our good God has done for us. And brother, we need to thank him and appreciate that so much. And as we go into the new year, maybe we can have more thoughts about being grateful and thankful hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and the entire year. For what our wonderful great God is and has done for you and myself. God is an awesome, wonderful God. And and what you find in this chapter, you nor I, nor the Israelites, nor David, anyone can do what this psalm talks about. So I want you to keep in mind what God is saying here through the psalm, that all this here, you and I could not achieve that if we undertake to do so. We just could not do it. Therefore, all credit, all honor, all glory has to go back to God himself. And brother, he desires it. He's earned it. He deserves it. And we ought to be God's people to be willing to do that as we keep that in our mind throughout the message and throughout the year to come. This psalm could be called a lot of things. It could surely be called the showers of blessing fall around us, I think is in one of the songs that we sing sometime. Or it could be the goodness of God, and for sure it is. Or I thought about, I said, a real title for this song could be the song, How Great Thou Art. My, how great God is. But I'm going to title the song today, as it says in verse 11, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thou crownest the year. He finished the year. Here, God says, he finished the year, the psalmist says, with the goodness of God. Whether it be harvest time, whether it be millennial time, whether it be in the Israelites' days, whether it be in your day, my day, nevertheless. But I want to read this psalm to you that you can get a glimpse of what God is saying as we keep in thought and in mind. Everything goes back to the credit of him. Everything is from him. And the Bible said, praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. Israel had dropped the ball, so to speak, on giving God the honor and the praise and the glory for all that he'd done for them. They did go into a 70-year captivity under the Babylonians, which we know that in the time, oft time, they probably never recognized, but always licking the wounds for what they were going through. And God was awaiting, God was due of the praise that he would get for what he'd done for them, and especially as he brings them back to their homeland and rebuild Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed, O thou that hast prayer, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquity prevails against me. As for our transgression, though, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and the evening shall rejoice. Thou visit the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridge thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrow thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drops fatness. Thy drops upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Father, use this passage, God, to help us to be brought back to the fact that, God, we owe you so much. And God, I pray today that we'll, from this point on, we'll be more conscious, more aware of what you do for us, not each year, not each month, not each week, but every day and every hour and every minute of the day. In your name we ask it. Amen. Today, as I look at this psalm, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Oh, how true it is that God does that. The goodness of God that crowneth the year was and is that which is impossible for man to do for ourselves in the day of David, in the day of Israel, and in the day of you and I. We cannot do what we've just read in Psalm 65 as it talks about by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit that he wanted us to know. The entire chapter relates to the faithfulness and the goodness of God. We know that no doubt there have been times of troubles. There's been times of heartaches. There's been times of setbacks in your lives. And there's been tragedies in some of the lives over the past year that we are now leaving to go into a new year, making it difficult for you to say possibly, and myself at times, God crowneth the year with his goodness. There's things that will happen that would keep us from rejoicing and being able to say that, though we should, and God wants us to. And let me give you a few of the examples that I am referring to, and that is, for instance, the tragedy of death in your church family. There's been some things, probably tragedy of death in the family. Some have lost their marriage partners maybe this year in the church family. Maybe some have lost their parents in death in the church family this year. Maybe some have lost their family member, the brother or sister or parent or grandparent or child or aunt or uncle or whatever, maybe in death this year in the church. Some have lost their close friends in death, making it very difficult to say that thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Not only I think the tragedy of death has happened this year in some of your lives, but also I think about the tragedy of sin in some of the lives of the people in the church and the family here. Sometime causes them to lose their testimony. And it's hard for those to say, God, thou hast crowned the year with thy goodness, because someone has been hurt through what they've done by straying away from the Lord, committing something we know that would be sinful, and therefore it has devastated their life and their testimony as well. We know also there's a tragedy of divorce that takes place in our churches today. It said in the statistics, I think it's at least 50% of the Christian people in the church have had to go through something that they never wanted to nor desired to, but they became a statistic when they were served the papers of going through the tragedy of a divorce in the family. We know for some, they have lost, in the church, they've lost their mate, they've lost their homes, they've lost their job, they've lost their churches, they may have lost their automobile, they've lost their joy, they've had a difficult year because of something like that that happened that they did not desire to happen in their lives. And then we see the tragedy of a child maybe who has went sour on their parents and has burdened and has shattered the dreams that you had for them maybe over this year. Something has happened. Very difficult for us to say in such an hour, because we love our children. Our heart goes out to them. Such an hour is hard to say, Lord, thou hast crowned the year with thy goodness in these times of difficulty. And there's children that in our church that have lost their parents to drugs and alcohol and immorality and a number of other sins maybe that they have committed. And here are children having a difficult time as they face these trials they go through in their lives. And it's hard for those children to say, thou crownest the year, God, with thy goodness, because of what they've had to undergo in the past year. Some have also severe and numerous health issues this year, making it very difficult for you to close the year and say, God, you have crowned the year with thy goodness. And then we know also there are those who've had financial struggles this year in the past year and making it somewhat difficult for them to say, God, thou closest the year with thy goodness this year. So there's a lot of things. That's just a few of the many that could be said that makes it very difficult for God's people to make the statement that is made in verse 11 by the psalmist when it says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And well, we know for only one way that I can handle such troubles and problems and tragedy, and there's only one way that you can handle that, and that is to go on by what God said in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 18 and verse 25, what it says about God there, and it says these words, and we must trust these words that was given to us by the author Moses, that God inspired him to write, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have a tendency to maybe begin to point fingers at God and what he's done that he did wrong, that hurt us, and caused us not to be able to crown the year if God's goodness or to give him the credit for that. So we must come to a point of time to trust him, to know that the God of this earth, he always does right, whether I can figure it out, whether I know it's right, or whether I doubt it, or whatever. We have to believe God always does things right for a purpose, for a reason. He sees the overall picture. He doesn't just see right now. He sees it all. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows why that thing happened as it happened, that I can't understand, that I question, that I doubt, and so on it might be. But as also, not only what God said there, but and God, as God inspired the Apostle Paul to write a verse of Scripture in Romans 8, 28 and 29, which is used so often, and may I say it's so much easier to be able to quote verses, to say these things, than it is to put them into practice sometimes. If we'll live the realistic life, sometimes that we come all spiritual and we want to use it. I know people that I have tried to give verses to in a time of a tragedy and trouble, and that's the last thing they want to hear was a Bible verse. It's hard to believe that to be true, but they are hurting so difficult. They're so painful, very difficult time they're going through. That's the last thing they want to hear. They want you to just listen. They want you to maybe give them a hug. Something of that nature would encourage them when they are struggling so much in the difficulties which they may be going through. But the Bible says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, verse 29. Why would that be? Why would God use these things and that we would not vote on to have to come out of our life? He said in verse 29, that we be conformed to the image of his son. We don't want him. We don't vote for him. We say, no, I don't want him. We talked about in Sunday school a little bit that we don't desire those things, but they're going to come our way. But why is it God's doing that? He looks down the road. He looks at my life. He knows what's going on. And he said, I just want to make you a little bit more like my son. I want you to have a spirit a little bit more like my son. I want your conduct and your characteristics and your lifestyle, Ray, be just a little bit better, a little bit more like my lovely son who died for you. And God says here in the Scriptures, as he makes it so clear as we look at that verse of Scripture, and then I think about the promise we read in Sunday school from the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, as the Bible talks about the church at Corinth when God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words. We have to take these scriptures of Genesis chapter number 18, 25, and Romans 8, and so on, and take the verse 1 Corinthians 10, 13. We have to bank on these. This is all we've got. We must remember we cannot resolve these troubles and trials and problems within ourselves. We must trust in God. We must take them to him. We must believe he knows what to do. Whenever he does it, however he performs it, we must learn to trust him more and more each day. That pleases him, puts a smile upon his face. He has a joy to see that we have gone bankrupt on what we can do. We must now rely totally upon him. The Bible says, there hath no temptation no trouble, no trial, no testing taken you or overtaken you, but such as common to man. It's an everyday occurrence in many people's lives. He said, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. When we can't figure it, believe me, God is faithful. When we're not faithful, he's still faithful. He said, God is faithful who will not suffer or allow you or I to be tempted above that we're able. God knows the breaking point in your and my life. And then he says at that point, but he will also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. God has the answer. Don't bail out too soon, because God is faithful. God will ruin his reputation if we do not trust in him, and if he fails us when we trust in him. God just ruined his reputation. God says, I will make a way of escape for you. I promise this to you. Bible said in 1 Peter 5:7, God invites those of us who are struggling with such cares of this life in the time that we're going through. He invites us, he says, in the goodness of God here, he says, cast all your cares, all your anxiety, all your troubled trials upon him, for he careth for you. God invites you to come to him. God invites you to trust him. God invites me to believe in him. God invites me to realize I can rely upon him. He is reliable. God wants me to do that. God is willing and able to bear those burdens. When you can't and I can't, God is able to do it, and God is willing to bear those burdens that we have under the last year and keeping us from being able to say, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. We must realize of those troubles and those trials, God's able to handle those. God wants us to say, I trust you enough to say, whatever, and I can't figure it out, but thou hast crownest the year with thy goodness. Worry is to deny God's wisdom. It is to say he doesn't know what he's doing. Worry denies the love of God that he doesn't care. And worry denies the power of God, saying he isn't able to deliver us from whatever the care that it is and anxiety we're going through. Listen, we don't need to doubt the wisdom of God, the love of God, or the power of God, because God loves you. When troubles come, that doesn't mean God doesn't know what he's doing. That doesn't mean God doesn't love us. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan in place to take care of that. We just don't understand it, because we're a finite mind, cannot understand the divine mind of God. We see God crown us the year with his goodness. Here, how does he do that? How did God, when this Israelite people who had been electful to give God the credit for what he'd done, as this chapter so well explained, that they cried out when they came back into the promised land, or when it was a time of giving thanks for what God has done. They cried out, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. There may have been troubles. There may have been trials that you've gone through. But may God help us to say, God, you have crowned the year with thy goodness. You know, I was thinking about it when I was looking at this, and isn't it funny how that one good positive can be obliterated and done away with by two negatives? I mean, I don't care what God does so good for us, but we come along, there's a negative, and it will just wipe it out. For some reason, we have the tendency to allow the negative things to hurt us and to bring us down and discourage us, and they can. We're human. God knows that. God made this body. God made you. And God knows what hurts. And God knows what we need to go through, even though we don't want it. We don't understand it. I don't understand it. But God says, notice here that God says, God crowneth the year with his goodness through his person. God crowneth the year with goodness through his person. The Bible says in verse number 2, O thou that hearest prayers, God has having a reputation of being a hearing God of man's prayers. God has such a reputation that he says in the Bible, what a title, O thou that hearest prayers. God has that reputation. God permits you and I the privilege of prayer. Anytime, anywhere, about anything. God did that. God's the only one that can do any good for you and I. People can help, but we extend it, we're limited. But God hears the prayers. God desires, he says in verse 2, he has a reputation of being a hearer of man's prayer. And God permits me to be a part of that. He hears prayers of the weak and of the needy and of the saints and of the sinners and of the Jews and the Gentiles. God hears. God hears. Now, God may not always answer the prayer, and he doesn't always answer the prayer the way we want it to be answered. But God answered according to what he knows is the best for you and I. The Bible says here that God not only has a reputation of being a hearer of man's prayer, but the Bible says God here, there is only one mediator between man and God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, he says that there is only one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. So you see, God is that only mediator that we can come to in the time when we have a need. And the Bible says he's a prayer-hearing God. He has such a reputation. Therefore, God can be said of God, he crowneth the year with his goodness through his person. His person is that he's a prayer-hearing God. But also with a capability of forgiving people their sin. God has a capability of forgiving you and forgiving me of my sin. There's not another person in the world able to forgive you of your sin. No one. Only God and his Son. And Jesus said, no man come to the Father but by me. We must go through the Son to God the Father in order to have our sins and faults and failures and violations forgiven. He is the one. Thank God for him. He can forgive. We know that the Bible, Jesus heals here in the book of Mark in chapter 2. God was healing a person who was paralyzed, a paralegian, and the man, the Bible said, and some of the scribes were sitting around and began to reason within themselves. I've been going through my Bible study this year in the New Testament, and every November I try to read the New Testament through before Christmas Eve. And the last 3-4 years, I've been taking note of, is it called ESP, that people think they know something about somebody else? Well, God is a great God of ESP. I mean, I marked in the scripture every time that they reason within themselves. But Jesus pointed it out. He knew all about it, what they were thinking. And that gave me awareness, hey, God knows what I'm thinking too. So we got to realize. But God, the Bible says here, he has the capability of forgiving sin. And in Mark, the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 7, as these scribes sit around and begin to reason in their mind about what he's doing, and they made a statement in verse 7, who can forgive sin but God? They were trying to find fault in him, said, who is he? He's an impostor. How can he forgive men's sin? No one can forgive sin but God. But guess what? He's God. He's God. That's how he can forgive sin. Bible says no one, because he is God. 1 John 1:9 says, we're faithful and just to call on the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin if we confess them to him. He said, I will do that for you. Oh, isn't it good that you can come to the close of the year, or you come to the close of something in your life that you've done wrong, or maybe thought something wrong, said something wrong, did something wrong, whatever we might have done. Isn't it good to know that he's a prayer hearing God? Isn't it good to know he has the capability of forgiving me when I come to him and ask? He said, I will forgive you. Oh, what a blessing to know that I can have that forgiven in my life. I'm not saying we always forget it, and probably we won't. But thank God it's forgiven. It's beneath the blood of the Lamb of God. I notice the Bible in verse 3 talks about the cry of distress over the prevailing sin. Iniquities prevailed against me, over me. The cry of distress of the prevailing sin. When sin lingers in my life, when I know it's something wrong, brother, that sin is distressful to us as it prevails and overcomes us. It's always over us. But I thank God, not only I see the cry of distress over the prevailing sin, but I see the cry of delight over the purging of sin in verse 3. He said, thou shalt purge them away. Brother, one thing for sure, sin has never prevailed over the Son of God. Sin may prevail over you. It may prevail over me. It prevails over the best. It prevails over the worst. But it has never prevailed over God and God's Son. And therefore, we can bring to Him, and He'll take our sins upon Him. He took every sin that there is and every kind of sin there is on the cross of Calvary, and He bore them in His body on the cross, according to the book of Peter. Oh, listen, the cry of distress over the prevailing sin and the delight over the purging of sin. It's the greatness of God's and the goodness of God that provides His pardon for you and I, verse 3. So here the Bible says, God crowneth the year with goodness. Why and how? Through His person. Because He's a person that hears prayer. He's a person that is a mediator. He has the capability of forgiving us. So God crowned the year in your life and my life. If we had nothing else, we have the forgiveness of the Lord, because He crowneth the year with the goodness through His person. Second of all, God crowneth the year through His provision. Through His provision. God, for the Israelite people, they say, wow, God has crowned a year because of His person of forgiving sin and have the capability of forgiving sin. He hears our prayers as they came back home from their time in 70 years of Babylon captivity. And then here they said, through His provision, as we come back home, and as they had feast after feast, and it was a hymn of thanksgiving that they would give thanks on occasion for what God's been doing or has done. Maybe it was once a year. Maybe it was more often. But we know through His provision, they gave Him thanks. God has done some good things for you this year. God has done some good things for me this year. And God, here, is only through His provision that you've been able to receive those. It's only through His provision I've been able to receive the goodness of God in this past year. I noticed the selection. Through His provision to select we the sinner, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. God here in verse 4, kind of almost like two people talking, but here it said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Who did God choose? God chose Jesus Christ as a mediator. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and then God chooses you and I before the foundation of the world, that He's made available His Son. To select the sinners, the Bible said, and Jesus made it very clear before we get the big head what we have done in order to get saved and get our sins forgiven. He said in John 15:16, Jesus said this, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. When we get a little boastful and proud and think, wow, what a good Christian I am. Man, look who I am. Hold it just a second. You didn't choose God. God chose you first. And you and I responded to Him through faith after being convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that we needed to come to Him. Bible said there's a selection. The Bible says, and He selected we the sinners. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 1:4, according to He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I cannot be holy and I cannot be blameless apart from Jesus Christ. And I still can't be. I'm not totally sanctified. I will never be totally sanctified until I reach glory, and then I'll be totally sanctified. It's a process that we go through as a Christian person. we have our faults and we have our failures. And we know that, but God said, he said that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, the Bible said in 2 Peter 3:9, when he talks about the selection, he chose us before the foundation of the world. He didn't choose us, some go to heaven, some go to hell, by the way. He didn't have a predestination. You predestined to hell, you predestined to heaven. God's too many whosoever wills in the Bible for us to say, well, you're selected to go here and you're selected there. Too bad, friend. But God made it very clear in the book of 2 Peter, like other passages of Scripture, 3:9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not negligent otherwise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, but not willing that A-N-Y, any, should perish, but all should come to repentance. God says, I sent my son to die for the entire world, John 3:16. I didn't come to die just for some elect few, whether it be Jew, whether it be Gentile, whether it be good, whether it be bad. God said, I came to die for everybody. And so the Bible says, God crowned us the year with his goodness through the selection that he made. God, for the foundation of the world, made a plan that old Ray Lyons, when he was born, he could come to be saved. Same for all of us. We know not only the Bible talks about the selection, but he talks about God's goodness. Through his provision, he did the selecting. And through his provision, he made me to be satisfied as a saved person. The Bible says in verse number 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in the house. We can dwell in the house because he made plans. We came by faith. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Israelite people came so satisfied. The fact they're back at home, they rebuilt the temple, and now they were satisfied. We need to appreciate the church a little more than we do. We can do that in a number of ways. We ought to be faithful to it, we ought to give to it, we ought to support it, we ought to serve in it. And I know there comes a point in time, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I know there comes a point in time that sometime we have to downshift. Sometime the old trucks used to head, well, my dad hauled pulpwood, the old trucks had a sub below. I mean, that was a creeping gear. Man, it just crept along. But there comes a time that we need to go into sub low. We have to slow down. Health won't permit it or whatever. But you know, there comes that time in lives maybe. But we can be satisfied. It is the greatness of the goodness of God that provides me with contentment from my discontentment with the things of the church and the things of the Lord. Thank God for the contentment that he provides. So here the Bible says, with God crowneth the year with his goodness, and that is with his provision, with his person. I notice the selection. I notice the satisfying of we the saved. I notice support of our concern in verse 5. He said, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. You see, when we pray, and the Israelites prayed, and as they prayed, and as we pray, sometimes God intervenes simply because that he supports our interests and he supports our benefit and our welfare and our regard on our behalf, showing he cares. When there's things against us, somebody's against us, things are going wrong, and we cry out, oh God, I don't even know how to pray. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, I believe. But we know the Holy Spirit takes us to the throne of God. We're weeping and we're hurting and we're painful. We don't know how to pray. God says, I know what you want. And God says, I have a concern for your welfare. And sometime that thing that's against us in the world, God has to take drastic measures, maybe to stop what is happening on the other side of the person who may be an unbeliever. But, you know, I look at it another way, though. When we are trying to live a sanctified life, not totally, but when we're trying to live a sanctified life in this life, there's troubles and trials. And we know when you get closer to the Lord, sometimes we know that troubles will come. Troubles will come. And the more we try to be sanctified and close to God, the trials and the troubles, we're asking for God for more faith, look like sometimes more afflictions come. I don't know why. Don't ask me, because I don't know. But God says, I know what I'm doing. Please trust me, he said. Please know I do all things right. Please wait it out, and I'll show you one day. God's selection, God satisfies the saved, God supports his concern with his children. Then I see this secure to secure the trust. Verse 5. He says, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea? To say what he's saying is God in what he did in the word terrible things in righteousness, verse 5. It got the attention and the confidence of this world. There's a God in control of this world. Because of the power that he has displayed in what he's had to do. And God, the world, for the most part, now we still live in America that has heathens in it, believe me. And I cannot believe, and I'm an American person. I love my flag. I think we ought to stand, not kneel. Kneel for prayer. Stand for the flag. But I can't believe one of our basketball players just had a Nike shoe made with his picture on a singlet on the back. Sold out in one day. That doesn't say much for the American people. I've got a pair of Nike shoes, but I've got to change brands. I don't appreciate that. Nike company giving in to someone says, I want it this way, and they did it. I don't appreciate that. I love my country. It's not perfect, but I love it. I love America. And if I don't like it, I'd make a deposit on a ticket, send them somewhere else. Saudi Arabia or somewhere. But we know that God taught us to support. God taught us to secure of trust in him. So the Bible talks about, and I've got to close. You've helped me too long already. You're not listening fast enough. But let me just say this. God crowneth the year for Israel, for David, for you and for me, with his goodness. He did so, the Bible talks about, through his person. He did so through his provision. And then he did so through his power. The Bible in verse 6 through 8 talks about the power, which by his strength setteth fast the mountain. God has established the mountain, being girded with power. You know, I've never seen a mountain blown away with God's wind. You haven't either. God established, God shows his power. Then he confirms that mountain by taking care of it. Coming up the parkway, coming up here, I've never seen such boulders. I mean, make three or four of this pulpit. And, you know, God is trying to establish the fact of who he is when he talks about it in verse 6. In verse 7, which stilleth the noise of the sea and the noise of the waves and the tumult of the people, the uproar, the confusion in our lives. God proves him to have confidence, as verse 5 said, because of he established the mountain, he secures the mountain, the Bible says, and he stills the noise of the sea and the waves and even the times of tumult in our lives. When there's confusion, there's uproar, there's discontentment, we don't know which direction to go. God is there. God is there to set the mountain. God is there to secure the mountain. God is there to silence the sea. God is there to steal the spirit in mankind in a time of chaos and commotion and confusion. And then God's even there to scare the heathen by the tokens it talks about in verse number 8 that he had. And that is by the signs and evidence and the samples that in life, such as consistency of the sunrise and the sunset, the Bible said in verse number 8. And then God crowns the year with his goodness through his performance. And that's verse 9 through 13. And I wish I had time to develop it. I'm not, okay? But God, through what he does, read it very carefully, what he does that you can't do for yourself and I can't do for myself and no one can do for themselves. God gives the ground, the water, and the grain, and the herds and the flocks, the Bible said. And the Bible said in verse number 13, the pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys are covered over with the corn, and they, along with the people, the nature itself, shouts for joy and they sing. Nature itself is so thankful for God that takes care of his earth, as he talks about in those verses. The Bible makes it so clear through his performance. All that is said that we will do what verse 1 said that God's been waiting on. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. God has done what we see in this chapter, that Israel, who had been electful, will now begin to praise him. When we have been electful, God said, I want you to see as we crown the year with your goodness that you are awaiting the honor and the glory and the praise, and that we need to do because he's crowned the year with his goodness. You see, it's the faithfulness and the goodness of God that crowned the year in his person, in his provision, in his power, and in his performance. Crowneth the year. Nature sings and nature shouts for joy. So much the more should we, God's people. They sing and give God the praise that he's so long been awaiting. Every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every year, God says, I crown the year with my goodness. Things that you nor I can do for ourselves. May we start a new year this year of starting out with realizing that we need to consider. Would we each be conscious of every blessing and everything that comes our way? Zeroing in on the positive more than on the negatives, and there will be some. There'll be some troubles, there'll be some tragedies. But nothing God's mission in this chapter 65 can be provided by myself or by you. I think as we close another day, another hour, another week, another month, another year, God wants us to be grateful for him crowning the year with his goodness. Our Father, we bear in prayer and thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I don't know. Lord, you know I really wanted to get away from it. That wasn't what I wanted to do. But for some reason, you wanted me to be reminded that, God, I'm sometimes neglectful in God giving you the glory for crowning the year with your goodness. God, may today someone will realize how good God is. Maybe someone don't even know you. They will realize that now you have died for them. They'll come. God, maybe they'll come and thank you for what you've done for them. Maybe they've been neglectful like this preacher has, and God, like Israel had, and like David had. God, I pray that would take place. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor?